He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Well, I want to welcome you to our perfect Easter. I laugh about this because as we've been going through Lent, we've been talking about the gifts of imperfection. We've been using Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, and we have been talking about how things can't be perfect. And the more we try to make things perfect, and unless we won't be happy unless things are perfect. And so then we find out that we're never happy. Things are never perfect. But that changes today. I'm going to make things perfect. Because Jane knows, last year, I wanted things to be really perfect. It was my first Easter here, and everything was going to be perfect. I had a nice liturgy all lined up. We had flowers adorning the sanctuary. We hung up the wonderful decorations, and I thought, well, this would really send this service over the edge, as if we just had a mass of candles in the background. So I found these beautiful candelabras that are like rays, and I put candles in all of them, and then I lit all of the candles for our perfect Easter. And then because of the wind, the fans, and things blowing, these candles burned down really fast. Those of you who are here remember that if my sermon had gone on 5 minutes longer, Jane would have come up here with a fire extinguisher and torched the whole place. They were getting down really low. So, nothing can be perfect. The minute we try to hold on to perfection, okay, the minute we try to hold on to it,
is when we find that we will never be the perfect. But if we can let go of imperfection, if we can just be who we are, our beautiful, imperfect, flawed selves, then we will find wholeheartedness and a wholehearted life. And so I just want to go a little bit through. Oh, first we're going to make ourselves an imperfect Easter. And like I was saying, we've been talking about imperfection. And Miss Elaine has done some wonderful artwork in our narthex. And so for those people who are at home who haven't gotten to come into the sanctuary and see this, I did want to show this. And I'm also going to kind of do a quick review of the journey, the imperfect journey that we have made through Lent. So we started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, who made this imperfect choice. But like all of the stories, their story ends with new life. Because instead of being destroyed or being killed as they thought that would happen, they were given another chance. They were given new life on earth to try to create another Eden. And then we moved on to Abraham and the law and this arrangement that God had with the people that was an imperfect arrangement. Because they could never fully follow that law. But it did allow for them to experience grace, a grace of God that we can still experience today. Then we moved to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, who had an encounter with Jesus. This was an imperfect woman, to say the least. And her story ends with new life because Jesus offers her living water. And what really makes her life become anew is that she realizes that Jesus not only did that, but also saw her and loved her for who she was. And then we went to David, this imperfect choice to be king, this runt, this youngest boy, kind of forgotten about. But through him, there became new life in Israel and in Israel's kingdom, which moved us into the imperfect valley of the dry bones. This imperfect valley where it looked like nothing could live and nothing had lived for centuries. But in this imperfect valley, there still was the opportunity for new life. Because through prophecy, the bones were joined and they came back to life. And this idea of new life through imperfection was revealed last week on Palm Sunday, where Jesus made what we called an imperfect entrance. Not on a war horse, not with a great army, but on a donkey. made it. He came in so fast with so little preparation, they didn't even have time to roll out the red carpet. They only had time to cut some branches off the trees and throw them down in haste. But what he brought to Jerusalem was the promise of new life, was this promise of a new world. And so that brings us to Holy Week. And I want to stick with these crowds and this time during Palm Sunday for just a second. Because the change that Jesus was giving to them, this promise that he was giving to them, wasn't quite what they wanted. They wanted to have things be like they used to be back in the olden days. But Jesus says, I have something new for you. I have something that's going to change your whole lives and your hearts. But it wasn't enough for them. Or maybe it was too much for them. Because by the end of the week, their cries of Hosanna turned into cries of crucify him. Which led Jesus to the cross and to the grave and to Sunday morning. This morning. Easter morning. Where a group of women, depending on which gospel writer you go with, is two or three or a group. We're in Matthew this year, and so Matthew says Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other Mary, or is it Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which we believe to be the mother of Jesus, go to put spices and flowers on Jesus' body to help preserve it, possibly because they were intending to move it at some point and they wanted to keep it preserved as much as possible. But when they get there, Jesus is not there. And here's where things get interesting in Matthew. Now, Matthew has a few details that are specific to his gospel that are not in any of the other gospels. And we talked a little bit about one of them last week. Do you remember when Jesus was coming in on Palm Sunday, there was a quick line that said the city was already in turmoil. It was shaking. And the Greek word that they use for that shaking is the same root that we get the word seismic, like earthquake seismic. Well, sure enough, on Easter morning, there was an earthquake. Matthew loves earthquakes. He said, there was an earthquake. And the angel came down and there was this great earthquake that rolled the stone away. One of the commenters said, I think that Matthew thinks that the angel coming down came so hard that it caused the earthquake. Because angels are so heavy. But nevertheless, it comes down, rolls the stone away, and of course the women and the guards there, they're terrified. Matthew says that the guards were scared so much that they were like dead men. They were scared stiff, we might say. Another unique detail Matthew puts in. And the women were also scared. But the angel said to them, you don't need to be scared. And the way the Greek is specifically like, the you specifically don't need to be scared. They, those guards, they do need to be scared. It's okay, they're scared. But you don't need to be scared. Because the person you're looking for, Jesus, he's not here. He has risen. And, sorry about that. So the next slide. Thought I had one in between. I didn't. It's an imperfect Easter. Here's another unique detail that Matthew says right after he says you don't need to be scared. He says to the women to come into the grave and see where he lay. Now in all of the other Gospels, when the women show up, the stone is already rolled away. Because we think, well, Jesus had the stone rolled away so he could leave. Matthew is the only gospel where the stone is still there, but Jesus is not. And so in Matthew's gospel, the stone is not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone is rolled away to let the witnesses in. Matthew is very keen to point out how important the role of these witnesses are. These women, I might add, witnesses, to be the first to see that Jesus has risen. And so he tells them after they have seen this great and wonderful thing, after this earthquake and earth-shattering event, he says, okay, now go and tell his brothers in Galilee. Run along. And then Matthew says, and Matthew's the only one who uses this these two emotions. He says that the women were afraid and they were filled with joy. They had fear and joy. There they are right there, fear and joy. This is from Pixar's Inside Out movie, which if you haven't seen it, go see it. Fear and joy is such an interesting combination of emotions. There's this wonderful thing that happens at the intersection of fear and joy. Because often when these emotions are kind of cohabitating is because there is some very important and exciting change. Because things at this point from now on will never be the same. And that's terrifying. But it's also exciting. When I was thinking about this, the first memory that came to my mind was watching Brian be born. And as Brian came out screaming and wet and all of that, immediately I was filled with both of those emotions. Nothing will ever be the same again. But it is also so exciting. And so the women go down the road filled with fear and joy. And then along the way, Matthew says, Jesus was there. Jesus has already started making a journey towards Galilee, and they caught up to him, I guess. And Jesus is there. And the thing that he tells them is that they don't need to be afraid. That's the first thing he says. Do not be afraid. Continue on your way. Go and tell the people, but don't be afraid. So in a way, you could surmise that he takes away their fear and leaves them only with joy. And so for the rest of that journey, they know that they don't have to fear because Jesus is with them. And because Jesus is with them, either in body or in spirit, they are filled with joy. The same is true for us today on Easter. This earth-shattering, earth-shaking moment of the resurrection means that the world will never be the same again. The world has never quite been the same again. But we are tasked with continuing to change it. We are tasked with continuing to spread this news, just as the first women were. And the good news is that Jesus goes along with us. So we need not be afraid. We only need to be joyous. So as we go through this imperfect Easter, we can be glad that we don't need to be perfect. We can be glad that we don't need to even be afraid. But instead, we can be wholehearted. So let us be wholehearted this Easter time. Let us be full of the Easter spirit. Be joyous, creative, compassionate, authentic, courageous. All of these things are parts of being, of loving and celebrating new life. With our whole hearts, being joyous, creative, compassionate, authentic, and courageous. As we move through our Easter season, we can sing of the promise that nothing will separate us from the love and the joy and the life of Jesus, not even death. And we will rejoice knowing that we can forge ahead with new life. What has happened is remarkable. He is risen. He is risen. Jesus is alive. It is earth-shattering. It is amazing. But most of all, It is joyous. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen.